Viewer TV အစီအစဉ်တွေကို American Freedom
各位观众朋友大家好，欢迎收看美国观察，我是林森。好，我们新闻头条，我们首先来关注的是美国北京据信将在南太平洋地区设立军事基地，支持美国驻印太地区部队在关岛和南太平洋地区展开每两年一次的各军兵种联合军事演习。美国军事专家研判，中国在过去两年中将其核武库增加了一倍，远比情报界此前评估的速度要快得多。哈德逊研究所资深研究员彼得修昔对美国之音说，中国核武库的快速增长使得美国历史上第一次需要同时应对中国和俄罗斯两个核武对手。
What is the record of China's nuclear non-proliferation, especially when it comes to North Korea? For North Korea, is China completely its attempt to get nuclear weapons, or China has mixed feelings about it?
Well, thank you, Forrest. Tom Reed, who used to be the U.S. Secretary of the Air Force and was President Reagan's Deputy National Security Advisor, wrote a book called The Nuclear Express, and he wrote it back in 2009, I believe. There is an entire chapter devoted to China's work on proliferation, in which Deng Xiaoping announced in 1982 to the Politburo that China was going to deliberately export nuclear weapons technology to its friends in Pakistan, North Korea, Libya, Iran, and Iraq. And they did that. And they did that through the Khan network in Pakistan, as you know, which traded getting missile help from North Korea in return for providing North Korea the nuclear weapons technology. And we now know that in the case of all the countries, they either had nuclear weapons programs or had them taken away or destroyed, or in the case of Pakistan and North Korea, they have nuclear weapons and are expanding, particularly North Korea, their arsenal. So China's record on proliferation is terrible, yet it never gets called to account to explain why it has violated its obligations under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which is to work to stop proliferation.
For the denuclearization of North Korea, what would the United States hope China could do, and is China doing it or not? What's the potential good and bad for China to see North Korea with significant nuclear weapons?
It's a very good question, Forrest. My view is China put nuclear weapons in North Korea for one reason. They wanted to intimidate and coerce the United States to leave the Korean Peninsula and make it easier for China to operate militarily in the Western Pacific. It didn't work. In fact, if anything, it strengthened the ROK alliance and the United States, as you've seen with the recent election. It did get a little dicey with the previous leader of South Korea, who was kind of very friendly with North Korea. On the other hand, because Japan and South Korea have enhanced their military, and they're talking in South Korea seriously about stationing nuclear weapons that would be owned by the United States but jointly operated, that is going to cause China some pause. My view is China's attempt to get the U.S. to leave the Korean Peninsula backfired. It has not weakened our alliance. It actually has now strengthened it. And I think the tragedy of if South Korea and Japan even went partially nuclear, that would get China's attention, but it might also precipitate a war. So I think China, the plan to get us out of the Western Pacific backfired. They weren't able to do that with the proliferation of nuclear weapons in North Korea. And so we're kind of living with, unless China decides, well, this is getting a little dicey, and I don't think this is good, they could get rid of the North Korean nuclear weapons program, I think, very quickly, because North Korea is so dependent on China. But I don't think China will. I don't think they'll admit that they were responsible for the proliferation, and they'll make all sorts of excuses as to, oh, we don't control North Korea, and they're all on their own, and they do their own thing. Not true, but I think, Forrest, the danger is North Korea's proliferation may engender more proliferation, and that I know China doesn't want, but they may not be capable or willing to put an end to it.
Is nuclear weapon a significant factor in U.S.-China-Taiwan relations? Do you think the United States should provide more support morally and militarily to Taiwan? And what ways are the best when seeing the situation across Taiwan Strait with the war in Ukraine as reference?
Yes, I think, Forrest, China has undertaken an unprecedented, what our strat commander calls a breathtaking modernization and expansion of its nuclear weapons. The head of the U.S. Strategic Command, Admiral Richard, has quipped last week before the Senate Armed Services Committee that any estimate that the intelligence community has given him with respect to the growth of Chinese nuclear weapons, he basically finds in a very few short months later, the estimates are undercounting China's growth, and you basically can double them. And so what we found is last July, we thought China was going to go to maybe 1,000 nuclear warheads by 2030. And apparently they have gone to around 700 or more already within just the 2 years that General Admiral Richard has been head of STRATCOM. So he told us last week, China did in 2 years what we thought they were going to do in 10. And what they did is they built 350 new land-based ICBM silos out in three areas of western China. Those silos are almost 10 feet in diameter. They can easily fit the DF-41 missile, which carries 10 warheads. It's the biggest Chinese missile and could reach the entire U.S. Continent. And on top of that, the Chinese have five other ballistic missiles they're building. They're building upwards of six new submarines, each of which have ballistic missiles that can reach the United States from Chinese waters. That's very important. Those subs don't have to go far at sea in order to reach the United States. And they're building a strategic bomber fleet with cruise missiles. So as Admiral Richard has said, they're going to soon be a peer competitor of the United States with respect to nuclear weapons. Again, their primary interest is regional, even though, yes, they have military base in Djibouti, they are expanding around the world, but you mentioned Taiwan. I think, of course, they have designs on Taiwan. They want us first out of the region. But if we're in the region, they're going to use their nuclear weapons to coerce us or to blackmail us to say, you don't want to get into a fight with us with respect to nuclear weapons, so you will stand down and not help Taiwan. To go to your last question, which is what should we do? We should absolutely help Taiwan with air and missile defenses, with offensive capabilities to reach the mainland with missiles, and do whatever the Taiwanese government believes they need in order to deter a Chinese attack. And that's basically the coin of the realm, sir, in this business is I don't want to end up fighting in the hopes of winning. I want to deter China so the military conflict never even begins. I'm very worried about what China is up to because Taiwan is to the Chinese an example of the Communist Party's illegitimacy because it says, you know, there are people in the world that are Chinese that want to be ruled by a democratic form of government. And that goes directly against the Chinese Communist Party's narrative, which is the best way to go is totalitarian, authoritarian government, which the Chinese government has in on the mainland, and that's the best way to go. And as you know, China has some very serious problems, but I think we need to help Taiwan dramatically with military assistance. But after all, they're a sovereign government, and they'll help us figure out what it is they need.
In terms of deterring China, as you just mentioned, yes, and in terms of help defend Taiwan, is there any hint or any suggestion that Taiwan is interested in developing its own nuclear weapons for the best defense of its own security?
Well, there goes to the heart of the matter, Forrest, and that is, do the Chinese on Taiwan believe in the credibility of the U.S. extended national deterrent, nuclear deterrent. And that means, do they think we're serious about protecting them? And do they think the Chinese government in the mainland, the communists, do they take it seriously? Because we may think it's credible. We may think it's being modernized, which it is, but we're way behind in terms of modernization. The question is, do the Chinese take it seriously? I don't think, tragically, I don't think Mr. Putin took us seriously in Ukraine, although we announced in December we weren't going to fight with American conventional or nuclear forces in Ukraine. We did provide them from assistance, but that was very haphazard. And as you know, Forrest, we pledged in 1994, 30 years ago, or, we pledged 25 years ago, we pledged to support Ukraine against any aggression. And yet we really didn't do what needed to be done, and neither did Ukraine, to be honest with you. We kind of went to sleep. We thought the threat was not going to materialize. So with respect to Taiwan, they have been allies and friends of ours for a long time, even though we did, under President Carter, recognize the mainland versus Taiwan. We need to really fortify that the relationship and make sure that Taiwan is defended, because I think that is, if China, the mainland, takes over Taiwan, they basically run the Western Pacific. And as you know, in 2035, that part of the world, including India, the subcontinent, Pacific and South Asia, will have close to $50 trillion in GDP and over 5 billion people out of the 9 or so billion people on the globe. And anybody who controls the trade and investment in that part of the world will be the world's number one economic power. That's what this is all about. And Taiwan is like a big aircraft carrier in the Western Pacific, that if you control, then you control the sea lanes to Japan and South Korea. You control the sea lanes to the Philippines through the Straits of Malacca around to the Indian Ocean. And you control any ability to come to that region from the Central Pacific, which is where we come from. So it is very, very important. As you know from your history, the Japanese had the first and second island chain, and Taiwan would be an enormous part of that chain. If the Chinese dominated it, they would dominate the Western Pacific.
You just mentioned that we know China has doubled its nuclear stockpile over the past 2 years,
yes,
faster than previously assessed by the intelligence community. What does it mean for U.S. strategy in dealing with China?
Very, very good question. What it means is that China wants to be able to use its nuclear weapons like Russia, and that is to intimidate or coerce or blackmail the United States not to fight in the first place, so that if they go after Taiwan, we just stand down. And whether or not it's protecting South Korea, Japan, or the Western Pacific in terms of the island chain, they keep building all these islands. They illegally, according to the World Court, have grabbed a series of areas of the air. So their nuclear weapons are the umbrella under which they want to commit aggression and coercion and get away with it scot-free. Because that's what this is. This is no different than what the Russians are doing with respect to what we call escalate to win. It's part of their theory of victory. And previously, everybody said, oh, they only have a couple hundred nuclear weapons. Don't worry about it. No, that's completely... I never believed that in the first place. I thought it was a matter of China biding its time. But what they've done now is dramatically pushed up to where they are a peer competitor. And as Admiral Richard, who was head of our nuclear forces in the military, as number one guy, has said, this is unprecedented in American, in any history. We have faced one, Soviet Union, and then Russia. But now he says, for the first time in our history, we are going to face two peer competitors, both of whom are nuclear-armed to the point where China will probably have an equal number of warheads as we have. And that China wants to use to equalize the relationship, to coerce us to stand down where they will dominate the Western Pacific. And by the way, any other place they wish to act in the world, whether it's North Africa or the Middle East. As you know, they are working hand in glove with the Iranians, and I don't think they have a problem with the Iranians getting nuclear weapons. I'm a minority in that. I'm not, that's not shared by a lot of people, but I think they don't have any problem with, like, North Korea or Pakistan. They think their friends getting nuclear weapons make it tougher for us, America, to operate in the world.
Talking about China's nuclear arsenals and its strategies or doctrines, do you think current Chinese leader Xi Jinping is very different when compared with his predecessors for China's nuclear strategy?
Yes. Previously, what the Chinese were thinking was they had a small deterrent. This is official Chinese doctrine. I'm not necessarily saying I agree that that was anything but camouflage, but they said we have a very small force. We'll never use it first. It's retaliation only. It's to prevent you from attacking us with nuclear weapons, and we're peaceful. No first use. I thought that was all camouflage in the first place, but now they're being very open about we are building a force that can go first, because they now have adopted a policy they call, it's very clever, instead of prompt launch, which is, you know, launch on warning, or hair trigger, which is what it's called in some of the arms control community, they've said that their policy is anticipatory launch, meaning we think you're going to attack us. We're going to launch first. Very clever. But that's what you have all those 350 land-based ICBMs for, is to go first. So their threat is dramatically different. This is no first use, as Admiral Richard said, you could drive a Mack truck through that hole in that philosophy. So they're basically adopting the Russian strategy, which is we can threat to go first. We can use, they also have, by the way, theater nuclear weapons, massive numbers. I've counted close to 7 or 8 different systems. The Russians have, by the way, about 20. So, and we in America have one. We have gravity bombs in Europe. That's it, in terms of regional systems. And as you know, China's under no arms control agreement whatsoever that limits the number of their weapons. They are signatories to the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which they're meant to be responsible about proliferation issues and things like that, but they're not. So they have adopted the Russian strategy that nuclear weapons are going to be a big part of their defense doctrine, and we're serious. And remember, Mao was once said, well, aren't you worried about losing a couple hundred million people? And he says, well, I've got a couple hundred million people to lose because I got 400 or 500 million extra. Are the Chinese government of this era equally callous about losing literally hundreds of millions of people? I think they can intimidate us, sir, and make it so that we will stand down. The question is then, how reckless are they in a crisis? Would they really be willing to engage in a nuclear exchange where hundreds of millions of people or tens of millions of people would die? I think they can intimidate us. Therefore, I think a strong deterrent is what the United States needs, which we're currently building, but we're way behind on theater systems. We have Navy cruise missiles we could build. We're getting rid of the only bunker buster that goes after deeply buried targets. The Biden administration cut that out of the budget as they cut the Navy cruise missile out of the budget. So we're very limited on the regional business. Everything else we're in the process of modernizing, but all that gets modernized starting in 2029. It'll come in the field. It's currently being research and development, and then we got, I think, 6 bombers. New bombers we're building. The ICBMs don't come in until 2029, and the first submarine in our arsenal doesn't come in until 2031, 32. So we have made plans, and we've agreed to it, and Congress has supported it. The administration has to go forward. But as I said, Forrest, we took basically a 35, 40-year holiday from buying this stuff after the Cold War, and we thought it was the end of history. We thought nuclear weapons didn't matter. In fact, in the nuclear posture review and the couple administrations back, they said Russia and China were no longer a serious nuclear threat.
Due to China's progress, rapid progress in nuclear weapons, what kind of adjustments do you think the United States need to make in the very near future?
That is a very, very good question, and it comes to 3 issues. One, we're restricted under arms control to 1,550 warheads. China will have that many very soon. So that's the number one problem. Two, we're only building 12 submarines. I think we need to build more. And we only have, we have 400 land-based missiles. Each carry one warhead, but they could carry three. So we may have to add warheads to that arsenal. The number of bombers we're going to build is still at 100. Most of those are conventional. We're going to retire other bombers. We're going to keep the old B-52s, but the B-2s will go out and the B-21 will come in. So if we wanted to maximize our forces, we could double from 1,500 to 3,000. But then we're stuck. Our current plans, we couldn't go beyond that. And it would take 4 years for us to do that. So near term, the problem is we can add warheads to the submarines and bombers, our ICBMs. But in terms of building more subs or more ICBMs, that takes a considerable amount of time. So we could build up a little over 1,000 warheads if we had to. So basically, for us, what we could do is build up more warheads. But in terms of building more platforms like subs, bombers, or ICBMs, we're kind of stuck with what we have.
Let's talk a little bit about Russia. Russia's actual military power has some kind of diminished so much when seen from the war in Ukraine. And its only significant leverage is perhaps nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Has Russia set a bad example for more raw countries whose only real security has to come from nuclear weapons?
Yeah, you're exactly right. That may be the lesson people gather. Russia does not have the middle echelon commanders that any our military has. And so they basically had the generals up here and on the ground, number one. Number two, Putin didn't tell on his people that they were going to invade, so they weren't prepared. Second, the only thing they did was stockpile what they thought would be 3 or 4 days of equipment and material, because they thought they would take down Ukraine in 3 days. And they didn't realize the Ukraine government and their soldiers would fight tenaciously. I mean, you look at the pictures of what they've endured. It's extraordinary. But you're exactly right. What Russia has basically told the world is conventionally they're weak. And that's why every 5 days, every week, they have two or three high government officials threaten to use nuclear weapons. It's interesting, in his meeting with one of the officials in Europe, he said he didn't have a problem with Sweden and Finland joining NATO as long as they didn't put any weapons on their soil that could attack Russia. A very interesting kind of nuanced view of things, because he said Ukraine was different because they had weapons that could attack Russia, which is baloney. Their weapons are almost all defensive. So, but you're right. You nailed the issue, which is Russia has told countries getting in a conventional fight, even against a smaller country, doesn't always win. And you may want to go nuclear in order to shorten the war and win. And that's my worry. And that's been his doctrine since 1999, when he adopted it, when he was not yet president. He was head of the National Security Council in Russia and was prepared all the documents for this huge modernization. Russia has 25 strategic nuclear weapon systems they are building or have built. And they have another number similar to that of theater systems that are not controlled by any treaty, which they are also in the process of building. It's the biggest buildup of nuclear weapons in Russia's history, and I'm including the Soviet Union and the Cold War. Now, isn't it interesting? It's also duplicated by China. Buildup is the largest, of course, they've ever had. And as Admiral Richard has said, it may be the biggest time-wise in a period of time of any nuclear power ever in terms of the expansion.
Peter, my final question, very briefly. How real is the nuclear threat from China, as many U.S. generals have feared? What's the exact picture of China's nuclear power from land, air, and sea?
Well, they're in the process of having land, air, and sea missiles, some bombers, and submarines. They have said they will use them. They have threatened Japan with nuclear attack. They have threatened Australia with nuclear attack if they come to help Taiwan. And they patrolled submarines recently and said, oh, by the way, we can take out all your major cities on your West Coast, talking about America. So their rhetoric matches their force structure, and their force structure matches their strategy. Now you're asking me the question, how serious are they? Well, they don't tell us what the real story is. They're not going to call me up or anybody and say, oh, by the way, we're bluffing. Mm-hmm. But an American president has to decide, well, if they're not bluffing, I have to deter them. And if I have to deter them, I have to be strong. I'm sorry, Ronald Reagan was right. Peace through strength works. But you have to have credibility, and people have to think, yeah, you're serious about this. American president isn't going to fool around on this. And I think the Chinese are investing hundreds of billions of dollars in this business because they're serious for us about using it. I think they can intimidate us. I go back to my previous statement. I think they can intimidate us. And I just remember, Congress recently put together a congressional commission on national security. But this is the chapter, they have a big chapter on China. And they said they're absolutely convinced that China is going towards the same Russian doctrine of using nuclear weapons for coercion and blackmail, and are serious about using nuclear weapons if they decide to do so with respect to Taiwan.
欢迎回到美国观察。白宫国安顾问沙利文在卢森堡会晤了中国中央外事委员会办公室主任杨洁篪。沙利文强调美国对印太地区的承诺，表示美国与中国可以在朝鲜核武问题上合作，并向杨洁篪当面关切中国对台湾的挑衅行为。详细情况来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
白宫在星期一宣布，美国的白宫国安顾问沙利文以及中国的中央外事委员会办公室主任杨洁篪在6月13号与卢森堡进行了会晤。那么在周一的下午呢，白宫的国安会进行了背景简报会，简报会上的一位资深官员表示，沙杨两个人的会谈长达4个半小时。那么本次的会晤呢，是基于他们在5月18号的通话，也是美国管理与中国负责任竞争并且保持沟通管道畅通的一部分。而美国本身方面呢，对于自己在东盟还有与印太国家的印太经济架构等立场都感觉良好。资深官员形容本次的对话是坦率、深入、具体，而且具有成效。那么沙利文向杨洁篪提出，中国必须要释放受到错误拘禁的美国公民，并且表示这是他本人跟拜登总统都亲身关切的。而沙利文也向杨洁篪强调，美国身为印太地区国家，对该地区有着坚定的承诺。那美国之音就询问说呢，中国的国防部长魏凤和在这个本周末与新加坡参加香格里拉安全对话的时候，曾经表示说，中国是有权来发展核武自我防卫，以及呢也批评了美国在亚洲地区是在干预中国。对此呢，这个白宫资深官员是回应美国之音说呢，对于中国批评这个介入亚太事务呢，资深官员说，沙利文已经向杨洁篪强调，美国在印太地区有着长期的利益，而且一直是个印太地区国家，也将继续坚持一个自由开放的印太地区。那么关于这个核武能力呢，资深官员说，美国对于中国积极扩展并且现代化核武能力感到担忧，而且也多次在私下以及不同的公开场合提出。资深官员并且认为魏凤和的说法没有帮助。此外呢，沙利文也强调美国支持美国自己的一中政策，并且关切北京对于台湾海峡的挑衅行为。那么关于中国最近称台湾海峡不是国际水域，白宫的资深官员回应说呢，沙利文在会谈当中重申美国长久以来基于3项联合公报、台湾关系法以及6项保证的一中政策，并且清楚表达美国关切北京对台湾胁迫又挑衅的行为，而维护台湾以及台湾海峡的和平稳定是美国的首先要务。至于中国自己如何定义台湾海峡，美国不替中国回答。此外呢，沙利文也向杨洁篪表达，这个朝鲜试射弹道导弹违反联合国决议案，甚至可能接下来就会进行这个核武的测试。那在这方面呢，美方是表示担忧。那么美国也关切中国在联合国安理会当中否决一项关于朝鲜可能在核武测试地点的决议案。不过呢，沙利文也告诉杨洁篪，他认为说朝鲜的核武问题将是美中可以来合作的一项议题。
好，今天美国观察的全部内容就是这些，感谢您的收看，下次节目再见。